Hello, my name is Hayden Thompson and welcome to the Pack Heavy Podcast. Now, this show is really for anyone in the hospitality and food manufacturing industries that uses flexible packaging to get their products to market. Here, I'll be talking about everything food packaging and providing you with the information and knowledge that you need to get the right food package into your hands and into the hands of your consumer. I'm really excited to be interviewing guests just like you who have traveled the path that you're on so that you can learn from their successes and failures and engage in the mindset required to go all in on your vision. Now, I personally call this mindset the pack heavy mentality, and it is driven by deliberate actions such as making the decision to go all in on your vision for your business. So I'm talking about gathering market intelligence, putting a strong plan in place, organizing the appropriate resources, and then executing on your strategy with precision. So if you're packing heavy on your vision, you're definitely in the right place, and I'm really excited to have you here. Good morning and welcome to the Pack Heavy Podcast, episode number 4. Now, today I'm proud to have brought in Mikhail Koltek from Foodpack. Kale is the assistant GM and also a business development manager where I work. We share a desk and we have a good laugh every single day. Now, on today's episode though, we're discussing the basic fundamentals of the two most common print methods in the flexible packaging space, which is the rotogravure print method and the digital print method. So we're going to be mapping out the strengths and limitations of each print style. And we're going to be looking through the lens of finish and quality, the financial impacts that you must consider, and also the advantages that you can leverage to reduce your costs, such as economies of scale. Must warn you though, I'm still getting used to all of the tech and all of the editing and so on with the podcast, so bear with me as it's a bit of a rough cut straight into the interview. But with all of that said, it's a great chat, and I think there's a lot of learnings to take away from it. So enjoy. All right, Mikhail, thanks for coming on board today and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome, mate. Let's start by just having a bit of a chat, and I'd love it if you could sort of give us a little bit of insight into who you are, where you grew up, and how you landed your position as business development manager and assistant general manager at Foodpack.
Well, I'm not going to bore you with the first, 19 years of my life, but I guess it all goes back to, university, where the real life starts. So I was in a band out of high school, and that was kind of my dream from as long as I can remember, to be a rock star. And my parents kept bugging me, you know, you got to go back to school. You got to go back to school. And I just wasn't ready to go. And they were pretty cool about just letting me do my thing. And they'd bug me, you know, once a year, twice a year. So you're going to go to school soon. And by the time I was about 20, I started having to do math on my fingers. And I used to be a really good math student, but I was doing, you know, 47 plus 7, counting on my fingers. And I was like, yep. Wow, okay, you know what? Think I'm ready to go back to school. So my mom enrolled me in school. I told her that if I'm going to go back, you can enroll me and I'll be there. So she did. So I went into school for business and didn't really love what I was doing in business school. I found it was just a lot of jargon about conversations. There wasn't anything tangible to learn. And while I was in there, all my electives were in psychology, and I really grabbed hold of that and enjoyed that.
Yeah, cool.
So upon finishing my diploma, I transferred into UBC and got a major in arts psychology with a minor in commerce.
Cool. Yeah. And I mean, mate, that's evident. I obviously work with you and we share a desk every single day. And I'm privy to the conversations that you have over the phone. And I love the way that you connect with our customers at Foodpack. And, you know, you can see that you've definitely got that human touch. And I think that's why you're so good at sales as well. So I'm not surprised to hear that you've got that psychology background. It makes total sense now.
Yeah. I mean, what else do you do with a psychology major if I'm not going to become a psychologist?
Exactly. You might as well leverage it.
Yeah. So upon graduating, I guess I needed to get a job, and my brother was working at a roofing insulation plant and they were looking for an inside salesperson.
Yeah.
So I applied, I interviewed, I got the job, and for about 16 months, I sat at a desk and waited for the phone to ring, waited for my emails to come in. I read countless books, watched countless movies and TV shows at my desk at work, and that was my job. And as I'm sure you can appreciate, that was a pretty unfulfilling role.
Oh man, I can't even imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, so I got approached on LinkedIn. I mean, that's the way the world works now, is LinkedIn. Yeah.
Yep.
And there was an opportunity at Foodpack, and I interviewed for it, and it just seemed about right. And 4 years later, here I am.
Yeah, exactly. And at what point were you given the opportunity to take on the assistant GM role?
Gosh, that was kind of in the works the entire time, depending on who was around. I mean, Food Pack's been really great in the sense that everybody's got the opportunity to be whatever they need or want to be.
Yeah.
We're a small team here, so everybody kind of takes on multiple roles, and I just took on any role I could. So as of, I guess through COVID is when that kind of happened, early in COVID, that must have been April-ish, sometime around there. John came up with a new structure or organizational structure, and there I was.
That's awesome. You know what, that whole COVID period's definitely been a pivotal moment for a lot of people in a lot of people's lives. And I've already expressed on a previous episode the changes that occurred throughout that period in my life. And it's really cool to see that you made some positive movements in throughout that period as well.
Yeah. I mean, it was, as you know, a stressful, interesting time, but it just kind of gave the company opportunity to sit back and tackle whatever else we could that wasn't sales related.
Just keep moving forward.
Yeah. And it was just grinding through. And I probably worked harder through COVID than I did any other time in my career at Food Pack, just because it was, you know, there were so many different things I could sink my teeth into and just put some headphones in and work away, because I wasn't really making sales calls. Sales calls weren't coming in. So it's like, what else can you do?
Yep. No, I hear you. And so you've come through the other side, or we've come through the other side of COVID, and obviously like we've hit the ground running and we've never been busier, which is awesome. We're in our new location in Richmond. Just circling back prior to that though, you've landed yourself in the packaging industry. What is it in particular that you find fascinating about the packaging industry, and what is it that keeps you moving forward today?
Oh man. Well, I'm going to preface this by, first and foremost, everybody knows the packaging industry isn't necessarily the sexiest industry out there.
It can be a bit bland at times. Yeah.
It can be a bit bland, but you know what? There's so many different things to see every day. Every new day. I mean, it's the same for a lot of different salespeople. Every day is a new challenge, but I think for us specifically at Food Pack, there's so many different things that come across our desk, whether that's helping a client determine what the best print method is, or sourcing and helping build out a packaging line that's capable of 7,000 packs per minute.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally.
I mean, goes a long way.
Oh dude, like that's exactly what I enjoy about the job most. And you know, what I really value in sharing a desk with you is obviously being able to pick your brain. You know, I'm new to the industry and I just am gathering so much knowledge from you. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show today, because obviously this first series of the Pack Heavy podcast is focused on custom packaging projects and really giving our customers and the listeners some insight as to sort of what we do and how to go about a packaging project. So we've already covered, you know, branding, brand elements and brand design with Clay Yandel. That was a great podcast. We had a great conversation with John, our GM, about, you know, different bags that are available and different structures that you can build the bag with and the materials. And now today, I'd really love to pick your brain and if you could give some insight to the customers or to our listeners on print methods. So I guess to preface the conversation as well, you know, when we're talking about print methods, we're talking about the digital print method and the rotogravure print method. Both have got their pros and their cons, and both have, you know, bring so much value to the package that you actually get built and produced. But mate, if you could just give us a little bit of insight as to sort of the level of knowledge that you have for digital and roto, and sort of take the conversation on from here.
For sure. So rotogravure and flexographic, which is pretty similar, it's just sort of the inverse in the printing process, is the traditional method of printing. They use plates that are etched, and they use these plates to imprint the images in various color combinations to create the final designs.
Right.
So rotogravure or flexographic or those traditional methods were traditionally super, super high output. So let's just take a coffee bag, for example. You got a 1 pound coffee bag. If you're ready to print 35,000 pieces of one SKU, then all right, you can get into a printed bag. But being, you know, here in Vancouver in our market, that's just wonderful with opportunities and people's creating their own businesses.
Yeah.
Not everybody's ready to print 35,000. And that was kind of seen across the industry. So few years ago, I don't know, maybe 3-4 years ago, digital printing kind of really came onto the scene with the HP Indigo. I think most, if not all, digital printers are using the HP Indigo, which is kind of the industry standard. And for all intents and purposes, it's just a very large format computer printer.
Right, like the kind of printer that you have at home, like a laser printer.
Exactly.
Okay.
So instead of doing, you know, one plate for yellow and then one plate for green and then one plate for black to produce a three color image. It's just all printed at once, same way a piece of paper comes through your printer.
Right. So CMYK plus W plus white. Yep. Okay, yep. Cool. So those color combinations obviously, you know, basically replicate the whole spectrum of the rainbow, which is really cool. So that's sort of, that's digital in its sort of most simplest form. What are the, and you've also talked about, you know, the pros in that you can print some low quantities. What other pros do you sort of see to this print method and why would somebody choose it?
Well, it kind of starts with low quantities. As I said, a lot of people that are trying to get into the market and there's things I don't love about digital printing in that it's given everybody access to wanting to get into a printed bag.
Yeah.
When it's not necessarily the best business decision for them. And I'm pretty honest with a lot of my conversations with clients where they come to me and they say, yeah, I want to do a printed bag. I need 1,000 pieces of it. And I'll try my best to talk them out of spending $1.75 per bag because it's not necessarily the best print, the best.
Totally. Yeah. Money. It's into their margin. Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. You know, there's some products out there that they've got enough margin. They can spend $1.75 per bag.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that's not the best. And it's just, it's opened the doors to the speed to print, which is great for a lot of people, but that's now the expectation everywhere. You know, local manufacturers suggest they can print in, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, which when you think about it is absolutely incredible. These processes, you know, 10 years ago were 2 to 3 months period, whether that's coming from overseas or whether that's being printed locally.
Yeah.
Super long lead times. And just in the generation of today where everything is immediate, people have the expectations that they can get this done in 2 to 3 weeks, which, you know, sometimes you can move mountains to actually make that happen.
We've done it a few times recently. Yeah.
We've done it a few times. It's not without its stresses.
Yeah, for sure. You get a few sweat beads on the brow.
But yeah, I mean, outside of low quantities and really, really quick to market production times, that's probably the biggest pros for digital printing.
Yep. Cool. And cons. So I'm really aware of the fact that if you want a matte style bag, it's the whole bag is matte. You can't do spot matte or spot gloss. What other cons can you see in the digital print method?
Well, they've caught up quite a bit. There used to be a conversation surrounding different formats and different packaging styles couldn't be done digitally. I mean, I think even 12 months ago, the box style pouch wasn't possible in digital printing.
Really?
Yeah. So that was an easy conversation to have about its limitations, but they've really caught up. And for the life of me, I can't think of any pouch formats they can't currently do as digital.
Yeah.
So the limitations then are surrounding the substrates or the laminations that are used. You know, I think you and John are touched on that, on what those ones are. So there's some limitations there. And then as well in the color process, obviously, as you mentioned, it's CMYK plus white. You can't do, what do you call it?
Spot, like Pantone.
Not Pantone, metallic features.
Oh, right, so, yeah.
A lot of great packages out there have like a gold or a silver, any sort of metallic feature, which is done as a spot finish. And you can't obviously print a metallic gold on a computer printer. So, you know, there's ways around that. You can do a knockout and just not print there and have a metallized layer underneath showing through.
Yes.
To try to show that metallic feature, but that's a pretty big limitation. And then as you referred to the full mat, the mat's part of the substrate. It's not printed on. So, you know, I love the look of mat. Anything mat, I've always got my eye out for.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But when you have a window on that pouch, the mat doesn't look so great because you then have a mat window and you've got this kind of cloudy looking window.
Yeah.
That really impacts the overall look of the pouch. I mean, your logo and your artwork is going to look great with the mat. And you're trying to see through the product in this cloudy window and it really takes away from the overall bag.
Yeah, got you. So if someone's got a granola or something like that, that's definitely, you know, a feature that they wouldn't be able to leverage with a digital print.
Yeah. I mean, some people don't mind the look. I've actually had clients that wanted the cloudy look on the window. So power to them. It's just to each their own.
Yeah.
But it is something to be aware of.
Cool. So do you think that the capacity and the capability of digital is going to eventually catch up, or do you think it's sort of restricted by its limitations?
I mean, technology moves so quick these days.
Yeah.
I have to imagine that digital printing is going to be right up there with rotogravure before we know it.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a while before the price point or the cost effectiveness of digital printing is equal to rotogravure.
Yeah, for sure. All right, cool. Now let's talk a little bit about roto. So you've already covered the fact that plates are being etched. There's a plate per color, and that you've obviously got the Pantone color method that you can implement through that process, but you can also use CMYK to produce a vast array of colors as well.
Yep.
Talk us through the roto method with a little bit more detail. So if somebody was obviously coming to us and having a chat about their packaging and we're walking them through digital and roto, what's the conversation that you usually have with somebody?
Well, the first qualifying question for me is all about the quantities.
Yeah.
It's how many bags are you comfortable with having? You know, they might have a budget in mind, and we can approach that budget with digital or rotogravure depending on how many SKUs they've got and how many bags they want to hold on to or how many they expect to go through. So if they have the capacity, even if it's a bit of a stretch in terms of like 6-8 months worth of inventory, if somebody has the capacity to reach rotogravure numbers, I'll always suggest they go that way because the price point is always going to be significantly better. Now, the plate fees can get pretty exorbitant.
Yeah.
You've got 8 SKUs, each with 10 colors at $250 a plate.
Plus if it's a box store pouch, you're looking at 4 plates per bag as well, with the panels.
So that can get out of control pretty quickly, depending on the colors and the pouch format. But oftentimes, that $20,000 combined with, the 8 cents per unit is going to be the same dollar value as 20,000 digitally printed pouches.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, if they're ready to accept 100,000 pouches, then it's going to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand that for sure. It's interesting. Everybody sort of calculates their tolerance to those kind of spends differently. And I always love having those conversations and sort of figuring out how people are evaluating their budget and their spend. And I've come across very similar conversations as well. And it's interesting when we're obviously sending off and we're getting quotes from the manufacturer, and sometimes I'll say, hey, listen, can you quote on both digital and roto? I'm interested to see where the costs wash out. And it's totally dependent and hinged on volume in a lot of cases, I find.
Big time. I mean, there's some clients who are really focused on the price per unit.
Yeah.
So, if digital, you might be paying 70, 80 cents a bag. Rotogravure, you're paying 10 cents a bag. It's almost a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But then they're not necessarily looking at the overall spend or the overall dollar value of the entire run.
Yeah.
And then there's the absolute opposite, where they're just focused on the overall dollar spend and not necessarily the price per unit. I mean, everybody's business is a bit different in terms of how they're building out their margins and building out their costs. But it's important to look at both those numbers, because what you find might surprise you.
Yeah, no, and I've found that it's come up in a couple of conversations as well. It's one of the first conversations I have with a prospect as well as budget, for sure. It just makes such a huge impact on the way that we can move and the options that we can bring forward. Mate, we've covered a lot of ground, and I feel as if, we've provided a lot of information on both digital and roto. Is there anything else that you'd like to sort of bring up throughout this conversation to add some value?
Got me on the spot here.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, I think we've covered what I think is there to start.
Yeah.
I think it is really important to consider both options. Don't be worried about the large quantities, the large volumes of bags. I mean, especially here at Food Pack, because we're happy to offer some warehousing.
Yeah, true.
Help clients get a hold of those large volumes. But just look at everything is my best advice.
Awesome. No, thank you very much for your time, mate. I really appreciate it. I'd love to have you on the podcast again and dig a little bit deeper into your career in the packaging industry. And listen, I know you've got so much knowledge on tray sealers and thermoformers, and I'm sure that we're going to have some conversations in the future about that.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Awesome, mate. Take care. Have a good one.
You too, Ed.
Bye. Thanks for listening today. If you have any questions from today's episode or would like to know more about what I can do to help you achieve your packaging vision, you can reach me directly at hayden@thepackheavypodcast.com. You could DM me on Instagram @thepackheavypodcast, or we could also connect on LinkedIn and start a conversation there. I'll see you next week.